You have it, the scriptures everywhere, all around you, all the time. That's what this verse is about. It's about having the scriptures in your heart and all around you and using those to impact those around you. Now, Scott made me sound so good, and I wish I could tell you that the only way that I influence the youth is towards Jesus, but unfortunately, I'm also trying to work to create some comedic geniuses in the youth group, and I mostly do this by telling really, really bad jokes, and it's gotten to a point where I don't even have to finish my own jokes, because I can rely on my youth kids to finish the jokes for me, especially the youth boys. Some of you already know where I'm going with this, but there's one joke in particular that I've been using a lot lately. Some people are already like cringing in anticipation, but it's a joke that can be used in so many different circumstances, and I love it so much for that reason. And I've used it so much that I've honestly beat it to death. And I just keep going. I just keep making this same joke over and over again. And every time I make it, I get a little bit of joy. I get a little dopamine hit. And everybody else cringes, and that makes me enjoy it even more. And so one thing you might notice as I am up here is that I'm a little bit of like a pacer. I kind of walk back and forth a lot. And let me show you how this joke works. Is I say that I'm a pacer, and then I say, "Pacer? See, you can have an influence on people in so many different ways. See how many people were ready to finish that joke for me? I hardly know her. And most of the time, that doesn't even make any sense. But I've still got people that are ready to finish the joke. Yeah. I picked an example that actually does make sense, but so a lot of times, they don't even make sense. It's rough, yeah. People can attest to that. But so I do my best to influence people, and that's a simple way to do it. But really, the main thing that we want to do when we're influencing people is influence them towards Christ. And a verse came to mind while I was preparing for this, and it's very simple. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." It's very simple. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And if we're trying to influence other people, the main thing that we want to do, the main way that we want to do that is we want to influence them towards Christ. So Christ influences us, and we try to be a mirror of that influence towards other people. And I want to tell you that, to be honest, influence is wasted if it does not point to Christ. If you're not ultimately pointing people towards Christ, then you're wasting your time. And if all I was doing when I went to youth group was making corny jokes and telling the youth kids, like, "Hey, make these jokes with me." Like, if I was just making corny jokes, I would be wasting my time. I've been doing youth ministry for a long time now, since I was 19, which is 9 years ago this year. Yeah. As the kids say, I've reached unk status. That's the slang, is I'm unk now. It's short for uncle. Anyway, but if I serve as a youth leader for 9 years, which I have almost, but I don't succeed in pointing your kids to Christ, then I've wasted my time, even if I turn them into comedic geniuses, which is my secondary goal. But for that very reason, the very reason of pointing people to Christ, we want to give God the glory. Give God the glory in everything you do. And the reason for this is that giving God the glory is an expression of humility. And so not only are we centering everybody on Christ, we're pointing people towards Christ, but we're also making sure that the attention's not on us. And if you hope to influence people, I want you to ask this question. Do I want people to look up to me, or do I want people to look beyond me? Do I want people to look at me, or beyond me? Do I want people to see me when they're looking at me, or do I want people to really be seeing Christ? And there's a couple areas of my life where this becomes real to me. The first is in doing what I'm doing right now, which is teaching/preaching. I think I knew from around being a young adult that I wanted to do teaching. But for a while, I was hesitant about it because I was worried that, well, maybe the real reason I want to do it is just because I want people to look at me. I want people to think that I'm great. And it took me several years to realize that what I genuinely want is for people to see Christ when I teach. And when I stand up here, I don't want you to see me. I want you to see Christ. And I realized that I had already been doing this for years because I had been on worship team for years. And one thing I have always taught my worship team, and one thing I was taught when I was a youth and on worship team, is that when you are up on stage, it's not about you. It's not like going to a concert where you're going to a concert to see whoever is on the stage. When you're leading worship, you're just trying to point people to Christ. Again, you're trying to set up a mirror so that people look at the mirror and it just reflects their attention towards God. That's all that we're doing on worship. And so, you know, there's a natural tendency just because I'm literally elevated, I'm up on a stage, you're gonna look up at me as I'm preaching. But I want you really to be looking past me to Christ. And Paul has another great verse on this. In 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about the humility that he has, and he has this great attitude about it. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now, the church at this time, they were kind of getting into these disputes over who baptized who, and if they were baptized by Paul, they were kind of getting like proud of themselves. It'd be like if at Fusion, you got baptized by Pastor Zach and you're like, well, my baptism was extra special because Pastor Zach's the one who baptized me. And then another group was like, well, I think my baptism is extra special because Pastor Matt baptized me. And it's a stupid argument to get into, but that's what the Corinthian church was doing. And Paul's trying to tell them, look, it doesn't matter. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And that's all that matters is you need to focus on God, what God did, not what we did. All we did was just kind of tend the soil a little bit. God's the one who actually makes the plants grow. So this give glory to God, and the reason for that is humility. You need to be humble if you're trying to influence people, because if you're making it about yourself, you have the wrong intentions. But with that said, it should be easy now, being humble, to start small. And this is really about who am I going to target with my influence? Who am I going to try to reach with my influence? And you kind of have to start small. Start with the people that are around you. Focus on the people that are close to you. And this is kind of just the natural order of things. You don't start by, if you're an evangelist, preaching to a stadium. Billy Graham didn't start by preaching to stadiums. He started by talking to just a few people and influencing the people around him. And the same thing with me is I just started showing up to youth group to help with youth and help with what was going on there. And over time, I've managed to have a positive impact in the lives of several youth, like Scott was telling you about. And I'm very grateful for that. And it's honestly humbling to think about to have people that look up to you. But the reason you start small is because, one, you have to, but two, that's kind of what God talks about. God talks about being faithful with the small things, the little things. A lot of you are probably familiar with this verse from Luke 16. After preaching the parable of the talents, Jesus said, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. If you're faithful with a few things, if you're faithful just with the people around you, your friends, your family, your kids, then you can be faithful with much. You're showing God that you can be faithful with more. And so you have to start small and then you go from there. You just see where God takes you. You take one step after one step and you see where God takes you. So we know what attitude we should have when we are trying to influence people, and that's humility. And we know who we should try to target first, which is just the people around us. But how do we actually influence people? And I'm gonna give you two fancy words: orthodoxy and orthopraxy. I love my fancy words. I was homeschooled, so I learned a lot of fancy words that way. but orthodoxy, you might have heard that one. You probably haven't heard orthopraxy. But the root of these words, orthos, means like right. It means it's something that's right. And Orthodoxy means right teaching. It has to do with doctrine. It shares the same root as doctrine. So orthodox means right teaching, and orthopraxy is right practice. So praxy and practice are the same root as well. So orthodoxy is teaching the right things, knowing the right things, learning the right things, saying the right things. Orthopraxy is doing the right things. It's living out the things that you believe. And there's a joke that I really like. It relates to, mostly you hear it from Catholics, but I think it applies to all Christians. And the joke is this, I'm a practicing Catholic and I'll keep practicing until I get it right. And I think that we should all be able to say, I'm a practicing Christian and I'll keep practicing until I get it right. And that's what orthopraxy is all about, is you just keep practicing until you get it right. And that's really what you're doing when you're trying to make an impact on somebody, is you're trying to live the best life that you can in order to affect them. And I've got two final passages here before I wrap up. One is from Deuteronomy 6, and I just mentioned I was homeschooled. This is such a popular and important passage for homeschoolers, and you might see why in a second, but here's what it says. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So that's pretty comprehensive. That kind of covers a lot of areas of your life. One might say all areas of your life. You're talking about it when you walk, when you get up, when you lie down. That's from morning all the way to evening. You have it, the scriptures everywhere, all around you, all the time. That's what this verse is about. It's about having the scriptures in your heart and all around you and using those to impact those around you. This is especially to parents. You should always have your kids in church. You should always have them in scripture. You should raise them to know God. And all of you are here, so you guys are off to a great start with that. But there's another passage that kind of gives a similar theme, and this one's from the New Testament, and this is from Paul's advice to Timothy. He's a young pastor, and he says this: "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." And so, again, another comprehensive list. Speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. That's pretty much every aspect of your life. That's how you're supposed to set an example for other people. Now, Timothy was a young guy, so there's a specifically, don't let people look down on you because you were young. But all of us are called to set an example for those around us, to set an example for other believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And then there's these other aspects, too, about scripture and teaching and reading the scriptures. And I love there's three words that appear in that last section, which is practice these things, immerse yourself in them, and persist in this. So consistent in what you're doing. Be consistent in following God. Be consistent in your right teaching, your orthodoxy, and your right practice, your orthopraxy. And if you do these things consistently, you will eventually make an impact on people. That's really all there is to it, is you follow God and you do that around other people, and little by little, bit by bit, you will make an impact on other people.